Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Busy Steve Jones week this week with Steve on the road, and I think we have him now. As a matter of fact,
when Penn State played them, I was extremely impressed.
We now have you, by the way. We didn't have you for just a minute there, Steve.
Home run hire. This is a guy that was with Kill through all the moves he made.
So okay, hang on, Steve. Steve, I just want we just got you. So sorry about that. We just got you all connected and squared away. So go ahead.
What, did you forget I was here today?
No, just didn't have audio going to you so you could hear things.
In other words, you forgot. All right, so
I wouldn't use the word forgot.
The big story of the day is Matt Limegrover being named the new offensive line coach at Penn State. Matt Limegrover, this is an absolute home run hire. I've watched the Minnesota offensive lines under Jerry Kill. They are physical. They come at you. They also have some mobility to them. This is, to me, an excellent hire by James Franklin. He's a guy that followed Hugh's part. Remember I've talked about the stability of what Jerry Kill had done. You know, Southern Illinois took the same group with him to Northern Illinois, took that same group with him to Minnesota. And I think that's why Minnesota has had success under Jerry Kill, now Tracy Clays. Well, you're saying, well, why is Matt Limegrover available? Because if he's had all this success, why was he available? He's been doing the combination of being the offensive line coach and the offensive coordinator at Minnesota. When Tracy Clays decided to let him go at the end of December, even Matt admitted, he said, look, he said at some point, you know, it was a lot juggling both parts of it. To allow him to go back in and just lock in on being the offensive line coach, not have to worry about play calling responsibilities on top of it, he is going to be a great asset to what James Franklin and Joe Moorhead want to do on offense. He has a great reputation, and now my observation, whenever I've watched Minnesota tape, when Penn State's been getting ready to play them and so forth, and how physical they are up front, he teaches a physical brand of football. You can see it. And I think for Penn State, it didn't take long for James Franklin to get out there, get in front of this, get it done. He gets it done, and he makes a hire that, of a person that right away said, wow, I know this guy's work. Well, this guy's work, to me, is really good. I mean, I'm talking about the offensive line coaching part of it. I think he was a bit limited as to what he could do as a play caller in all of this, in part because I thought Mitch Leidner, the quarterback, I think it took him too long to develop as a dual threat at quarterback, and I think that set him back a bit because they also let the quarterback coach go along the way. But that's fine. I think that's their loss. It's going to be Penn State's gain that allows him, Matt Limegrover, to have Matt Limegrover lock in and just be the offensive line coach. This is going to pay huge dividends for Penn State. This, to me, is a home run hire. He's coming back to Western. He's coming back to Pennsylvania. He is a Pittsburgh guy, born and raised in Pittsburgh. Knows the area very well. I think he might be a Central Catholic guy, too, if I recall. And you look at the Minnesota running attack. David Cobb is a good running back. But Jack Ham and I must have commented how many different times about that offensive line for Minnesota whenever we did a Penn State-Minnesota game with him as the offensive line coach. And you saw that happen. I mean, they went at you. You're talking about a team that had 32 rushing touchdowns just in 2014 alone. And, you know, Cobb's a good back. But it was made in part because of the guys up front. Zach Epling turned out to be a big-time first-team all-conference selection. And that was, I know for me, in the voting, that was an easy call to make. But he went all the way through with Jerry Kill. From Emporia State, Southern Illinois, Northern Illinois, and then finally to Minnesota. The fact that he can just lock in and concentrate on just being the offensive line coach, I think it's going to be great for him. I think it's going to be great for Penn State. Getting Matt Linegrover, I thought was, you know, I saw some other names floated out there, and I looked at some of the other names that were floated. Okay, what's being floated out there for names and so forth? And I said, well, if he's available, I would like to see that go in that direction based on what I've seen of his work. So that's a big one to get. The rest of the Kevin Herr memo. Let's see.
It's a good memo today.
Ben D'Angelo and AB are still possible for Sunday. They all are. Yeah. Yeah. Why don't we wait till Friday? Then they'll.
I was just updating in case you weren't aware.
Caring, very low on that right now. Very low care on that.
That's one of
this particular point. Well, no, because there's nothing. What's going to be determined on Wednesday? Nothing. Ben Roethlisberger practiced today. You want to know what he did? They did running game today. He handed the ball off.
Actually, I think that's what Tomlin said yesterday would be the plan anyway.
Right. That's all they do, though. Yeah, he hasn't thrown a football since Saturday night.
I don't want him to throw a football till at least Friday.
He's going to have to throw it at some point because you got to know what you have and what you don't have.
That's what I say. I think Friday. Let it heal as much as you can. I just wonder. I mean, obviously, there's going to be pain. And I know if you have torn ligaments, you can still perform. It's not obviously near 100%, and it's very painful. But I wonder how torn ligaments in a shoulder compares to, like, torn ligaments in a knee and being able, you know, you're really limited in what you can run on, you know, and cut if you have torn ligaments in your knee. How limited is a shoulder ligament going to be for a quarterback?
Repeating, Matt Linegrover is now the new offensive line coach at Penn State, a huge hire, I think, for the Nittany Lions. And I think that's part of the positive news moving forward. Don't forget, on the after show, plenty of Steelers speculation talk. I'm crushing you, I know.
I quit.
Oh, my goodness. So, but that's the big story, though. I mean, you know,
actually, the full details are at stevejonesshow.com. I just actually set that up on our website right before we went on the air.
And I think this is, you know, you're talking about a fan base, and can you blame them? That feels like every time they've turned around for 4 years, they feel like something bad is about to happen. I mean, every time you look around, it's like there's been no room to breathe on news when it comes to Penn State. And now, you know, now why did the players all transfer and cluster this week? Why?
Well, you know, I asked myself that same question that I was, but the answer that I came up with, no, I want to see if I'm thinking along the Steve line. The answer I came up with is because the new semester starts shortly.
That's exactly right.
So there you see?
They have to make up their mind as to what they got to do. Okay? Now, look, do you want an honest assessment of each guy? Okay, I'll give you an honest assessment of each guy. All right. Troy Reader's the only one that surprised me. And I think, you know, Troy had kind of, you know, been down on himself a little bit last year, had fallen behind with an injury or whatever. And he had fallen behind Kabinda, and he backed up Kabinda in the spring. He backed up Kabinda during the course of the preseason. And then when Wortman got hurt, Jason moved over. Reader got the start. I thought Troy played really well. Reader's a perfectionist. I'm not speaking out of turn here because I've said it right to Troy's face. I said, you're a perfectionist. He said to me, Steve, you're absolutely right. I am. You know, and I always wondered how that would affect him instinctively. And it doesn't. I think instinctively he turned out to be a very good linebacker here. He's somebody I personally like. I think, you know, with Wortman coming back, I think Kabinda has a chance to move back to that outside spot, maybe, you know, play a little bit of both along the way. And Reader would have been an important part of the mix. But he wants to go home. I understand that. His brother is verbally committed to play at Delaware. I understand that. His father played at Delaware. I understand that. So that's what he's decided to do. Okay. I respect that. And he's somebody I personally like a lot. Daquan Worley. I've heard a lot about, oh, how could they lose an athlete like Daquan Worley? Unbelievable. I don't know. The coaches, blah, blah, blah. Oh, please. Okay? You want to know what I've watched? Again, I don't want... Okay, let me make this as plain as possible. I don't need sources to tell you what where guys happen to be, except my own two eyes. Okay? I mean, I'm out there. All right? I'm out there. Okay? So I don't need a source to whisper in my ear. I can look for myself. Out of spring practice, I thought Worley did a good job in spring practice last year. I thought, okay. And I told Jack, I said, you know, I think he's got a chance to contribute. Let's see how he does. He then gets hurt in the preseason. Well, when he got hurt in the preseason, it knocked him out for a period of time. And guess what happened? Other guys developed and got better. Grant Haley. Oh, you already knew with Grant Haley. John Reed. You watch John Reed, you're like, this guy has to play right away. I don't care if it's a freshman corner. He's got to play right away. He knows how to play. Christian Campbell. Now, I thought Christian was a little up and down early in the season. Then he steadied himself, and then he got hurt. But a young guy, Amani Oyewariye, just got better. He's better than Worley is now. All right? You look at Garrett Taylor. He's better than Worley is right now. Worley came back, he got on the scout team, and he just couldn't get any traction, and he struggled. Okay, so he's decided to transfer. I hope it works out great, and he goes someplace else and does extremely well. But there's a depth there where there's a pool of players that can play. And all of them, even Jordan Smith, had passed him out. And then, you know, it... you don't wait for guys to come back from injuries. Sometimes, you know, you got to see who can play. Well, it turned out that guys could play, and he couldn't catch up to them. And maybe with another year he could have. I don't know. But he's made the decision to transfer. Jake Kiley felt bad for Jake. Jake came in here out of New Hampshire, and then his knee blew up. It was in Beaver Stadium. It was in the north end zone. It was in a scrimmage in August of 2014, and it's just an awfully hard recovery out there running around with that brace on that knee, and it's awfully tough. And I hope he does well, because he's just, you know, one of those likable individuals that you like being around. Geno Lewis, we've already documented. Look, I mean, Geno, could he have competed and been in the top four rotation? Sure he could have. But, you know, but doing that was going to be a lot tougher now with Irvin Charles getting into the mix. Juwan Johnson, you watch Charles, and you say to yourself, I want to see this in the game. I think he can play. Okay? I want to see this in the game. I think he can play. And you look between Charles, Johnson, Blacknell, Goblin, Hamilton, Tompkins, Polk. That's seven guys. So there's nothing except for the Reader one, which was a surprise, and I understand his reason why. I get it. Now you have Matt Linegrover stepping in. I mean, look, Herb Hand did the best he could with what he had available. Matt Limegrover's ready to take this group to the next step. So it's a great hire. All the stuff about the skies falling, oh, you know, I mean, we could do an entire show that would draw calls and draw excitement and draw whatever in the beginning, because we could talk about the skies falling and the whole thing, and people could call in and be all upset and distraught and the whole thing, or you can sit here and tell the truth. Okay? No offense, we don't need sources to tell us. You know, I understand that Worley was this kind of player. I can tell you what kind of player he was. I watched him, you know, 4 days a week. That doesn't fit the agenda of some? Fine, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I know what my own two eyes see. You know, don't need too much help from, you know. And I'm not talking about the beat writers. The beat writers are awesome. I mean, you know, listen to all the beat writers we have on. I mean, look, they get what's going on. They understand it. We're going to have Frank Bodani on today. Typical. We had Rich Scarcell on yesterday. Donnie Collins. I mean, I can go through the long list. We're going to get more of them on, too, because, I mean, sometimes you forget after a while I haven't had X on. They do a great job covering the team. They get it. They understand what's going on here. They're very common sense people. I mean, I'm talking about... You know, there's certain parts of the fan base that are like, oh, I have inside sources. Oh, really? Right? I didn't see him standing there. All right. we'll come back with more in a moment. And more of the Kevin Herr memo, as only he can construct it, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Who needs the Powerball? You can be a big winner with a brand new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. If your New Year's resolution is to save money, check out Sunbury Motors Hyundai this month. SMC Hyundai has 2016 Elantras with sunroofs, Bluetooth backup cameras, and more, starting at only $17,235 or just $209 a month. Or Hyundai Accents starting at $14,493 or as low as $176 a month. Why buy used? Head to Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Get a great new car, a low payment, and America. Best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. You don't need the Powerball to win big. You need to visit Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburyhyundai.com. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
10% down for 84 months. 3.64% with approved credit through MSC Bank. Not all buyers qualify. Tax and tax extra all rebates to dealer. See dealer for complete details.
All right, Matt Limegrover agreed to be the new offensive line coach at Penn State. So there's one more opening, and that's going to be the safety spot for head coach James Franklin. Look, everybody, the transfer is happening at the start of the semester. You expect that. There's nothing out of the ordinary here. The only one that was a surprise to me was Troy Reeder. I mean, Gary Wooten goes to Duquesne. Gary worked hard, but this is a Power 5 conference, and Gary would provide no better than depth at a Power 5 conference school, which is fine. That's all right. I think Duquesne's a great landing spot for him. He'll do fine there. It does tell you something about what they thought of where he fit in the plan, that when Naeem Wortman White got hurt, Gary was not the guy that stepped up. I mean, Gary played in the game, but then when it came time, they moved Kabinda over. I mean, that tells you something along the way. That's not putting down what somebody does. But
he,
you know,
he could be a real good player there, though, Steve. I mean, at that level, too, he could be an impact player.
He could be a fine player there. He could be a fine player there. All right? All right, bottom of the hour. This day in sports history coming up. Frank Bodani coming up. A tribute to Jim Simpson is coming up as well, who passed away today. One of the truly great play-by-play announcers of our time.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Wednesday. Jim Simpson passed away today. There are very few announcers that would have been put in the number two position in their network that were any better than Jim Simpson. You always felt like every time you listened to him do a broadcast, you were listening to a big timer do a big time game. Met him one time. And it was before a Penn State Pitt game. We were taping the pregame show with Joe. I want to say it was 1985, I think. And ESPN was going to do the game, and he worked with Paul McGuire. And we used to do a one-hour roundtable with Joe, which was Gil Santos, John Grant, me, George Paterno, and Stan Savern. And we'd do a roundtable pregame with Joe that lasted about 45, 50 minutes. And I want to say maybe, let's see. I'm trying to think now. Maybe this was, what, I think it was 1985. And Jim Simpson wanted to come down and listen to it to help him get ready for the game. And we had to tape it in the morning. I remember that. We had to tape it in the morning. And we think Paul McGuire arrived from someplace else other than the hotel room.
a bit disheveled
at the time. I'm not trying to put down Paul McGuire. I always felt Paul McGuire did very good work. But that time of the day was not his time of the day. Meanwhile, Jim Simpson came in, polished, professional, ready to work, set to go. Absolute class. I was, I felt it was a privilege to meet him because I had admired his work for years. So it was a big deal that he was in there listening to me do some work, trying to interview Joe, asking bad questions, but still having him write down the answers. That was my one time that I met him. We'll talk about that in a moment because that'll be part of our play-by-play call of the day. But first of all, this day in sports history. And on this day in sports history, Wilt Chamberlain scored 73 points in a game, which was then the NBA record. He then later broke it, by the way, by scoring 100 in Hershey. Let's see. 1986, the NCAA adopted the controversial Proposition 48, which set standards for Division I freshman eligibility. It's interesting, a lot of people talked about those standards, and I was one like, hey, you got to have standards. And I remember having, in a previous life, a John Chaney on my show one day, and I brought up Proposition 48. And he talked about opening the door of opportunity and how he had done it at Temple at the time. And John and I had a very lively discussion, and I understood his points and where he was coming from based on his life and his background. He made some very good points about that, which I've never forgotten and respected very much. What was always interested about John Chaney is that my first year full-time doing Penn State basketball was John's first year as the head coach at Temple. So we always, and we'd always mention that to each other when we talked. 1998, the NFL completed a $9.2 billion deal to keep Monday Night Football on ABC and the entire Sunday Night cable package for ESPN. And let's see, Major League Baseball in 2005 adopted a steroid testing program that suspended first-time offenders for 10 days and randomly tested players year-round. You're going to love my bozo of the day today, too. You're going to love it.
Okay.
It is a beauty. And then Jim Simpson was a great announcer. You mentioned that Super Bowl I is going to be on Friday night, which is, by the way, going to be the 49th anniversary of the first Super Bowl. You're like, how good? Super Bowl 50? Well, 1967, 2016, 49 years. It's the 50th one coming up. So right to the day, they'll have re-air Super Bowl I, which was January 15th, 1967. I watched the game. I remember the game, how it played out. I remember the Chiefs. I remember Lenny Dawson throwing a touchdown pass to Curtis McClinton in the left corner of the end zone. McClinton was a running back. And it made it 14-10. And you're like, why are the Chiefs this close? Now, in the second half, the Packers remembered they were the Packers. And it went from there.
NFL Films went to great lengths to piece this together, basically play by play, to get all the pieces together. And then I understand they're going to add NFL Films audio, like mic'd up audio from the sidelines.
Right.
And then at that point, they're going to go and put it all with the NBC Sports Radio voiceover.
And that's Jim Simpson.
That is indeed.
Jim Simpson. Jim Simpson's a... really, I mean, and at ESPN, they need to make a home run hire for play. I mentioned how I met him when he was at ESPN. Well, that was their home run hire. That was their home run hire. He even did the USFL, for goodness sakes. Great stuff.
I want to see the USFL return.
He was a great announcer.
I so want to see the USFL return.
I know you do. I know you miss spring football.
That's a, you know what? I really like spring football. It's not the USFL. It's just spring football. I really like spring football. I used to watch the World League even.
Yeah, I know. I watched the USFL, and I liked the USFL very much. But we'll get into Jim Simpson a little bit later, okay? Let's bring in Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Another exciting time for Penn State. Frank, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Happy New Year again, Steve. Great to be here with you today.
Happy New Year to you. It has been obviously a very interesting time news-wise for Penn State. How do you view this, especially in the context of what we see across the country as with other programs?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is part of where college football is going, for one. Nick Saban and other guys who are leading really successful programs lose assistant coaches all the time. They have to replace them. I don't think this situation at Penn State with Bob Shoup and Herb Hand would be nearly as big a deal to fans if Penn State was completely recovered from the sanctions and such. But they're not, and people are just, I think they're on edge all the time because when are we getting back? When is Penn State getting back? And then they see a little slip or they see someone leave, and then they kind of maybe jump to conclusions a little quick.
That's an interesting observation. I mean, that they are, and I sense that too, that I think for the most, I think most of the fan base, okay, they understand, they get it, and there's a lot of patience out there, but there also is that faction, you're right, that I agree with you. I think they are on edge, and, you know, they're so anxious to want to get back to the top, which I think anybody around the program wants badly. But I think you're right. They are on edge when you do talk to them about where they are and that everything has to be perfect to get there.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not an excuse that it's going to take a while to get back. You know, I think people sometimes get tired of saying, well, you're using the sanctions as an excuse. But, you know, it's reality in that James Franklin comes here with bringing almost his entire staff with him from Vanderbilt, which probably was great for continuity, but no one, including him, could possibly predict how the next two or three years would go at Penn State. And so when you're dealt with what he had to deal with, things aren't going to go smooth. I don't think it would probably be that way for any head coach taking over that situation. So changes, I think, almost are expected. Now, having people accept that is that's a whole different thing.
Well, exactly. You'll have people with their own opinions, their own agendas, and I understand that along the way. What does it tell you that no national search was needed for a defensive coordinator, that the move was very swift and to the point?
Oh, I think it shows fans that Brent Pry, in James Franklin's eyes, is ready to do this. And I think sometimes you forget that he was actually co-defensive coordinator even before Bob Shoup left, and that Brent had been a defensive coordinator elsewhere. And his dad made a really good point to me over the phone a few days ago, is that, hey, people are going to pay attention more to you if you're the defensive coordinator at Penn State than, say, Louisiana Lafayette. But it's still important to be the defensive coordinator at Louisiana Lafayette. You're still doing the same things. You're just doing them on a different stage. So Brent has that experience. And from everything I know, it seems like players like him. And if you don't promote Brent Pry, then you're basically telling him to leave as well, in a sense. So.
Yeah, that's an interesting point as well. Of the transfers, to me, the only one that surprised me was Reeder. Then it seemed, after seeing his explanation, that it made some sense to me. How did you view the transfers at this particular time?
Yeah, no, exactly like you say. It makes sense for Geno to want to go. And, you know, 5 years ago, I don't know if really players had this option when they had their degree to look maybe for a better situation for themselves for the last year. But now they do, very frequent. Now kids are taking more advantage of that. Geno seems like a great kid, so good for him. I mean, Reeder, you can understand it. The only thing is, you just don't see that happen very much. So you know that
right.
Maybe he's a little homesick, wants to go back. I think the tough thing is that he's a starter, and you just that situation just doesn't come up often.
Right. The question would be, though, would he start next year?
I think he's in the mix, which is all that you care about. So you had maybe six
right.
guys that were in the mix.
Right, exactly.
Boy,
the six, yeah.
So,
yeah, you're
I mean,
like you're like me. You look at the rotation. To me, all the rotation are starters.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm really excited to see Manny Bowen play next year. I guess maybe physically he just wasn't quite ready to play more this year, but I think he has a lot of potential. So you would expect him and Jay Cooper to, you know, be right there.
When a secondary coach is hired, an offensive line coach is hired, then the recruiting really kicks into a finish here. How important will that be for Penn State perception-wise to then overcome the 24-hour news cycle and give people the idea that things are on track, you know, and get
Hell
this
yeah.
behind?
Absolutely. Perception means everything, and more so nowadays. Just like if they could have beaten Northwestern, look how much different the perception of their season would be. So recruiting the same way. You know, if they could hire their next two coaches, grab three or four guys that are pretty highly rated at the end, I think people will feel better about things because you don't have a whole lot of – there's not a whole lot of things that Penn State fans have between now and – the summer to say, hey, that's great. That's really an accomplishment. But recruiting, finishing off this class the right way would be one of those, make people feel a little better.
What did you think? Now, it'll be wide open as to who's going to start a quarterback, but what did you think of the Trace McSorley we saw in the Tax Slayer Bowl, especially in the fourth quarter?
I thought that was, I mean, you got to give the guy all the credit in the world just for being able to come in cold in the middle of a bowl game against a really good defense. And then obviously he struggled a bit at the beginning, which I think we could all understand, but to right himself in the middle of the game showed me a lot, because when things don't go well, when you first come in that situation, I think it would be even harder to do what he did in the fourth quarter. You know, it's one thing if you come in and things just kind of click right away for it, but they didn't. And he still was able to hang in there. And I think, you know, we always were getting good reports that the coaches liked Trace. And I think we kind of sit there and want to say, well, we want to see it, because he's not the
sure.
prototypical size for a quarterback in the Big Ten. And
no, he is not. Yeah, you could see that right away, you know, that he's not. And he needs to get himself into a throwing lane, for example, because mm-hmm. he's not going to be able to throw over a group.
Right.
Fair enough.
Oh, sure. And you know, and we certainly haven't seen probably all of what he can do, because he only played a half of one game. But it's really, I think it's exciting, I guess, for fans in a sense, if they look at it like these three guys, these three young quarterbacks will all be learning a new system at the same time. And they all have different kinds of promise because they're all a little different types of quarterbacks, and they get to work with Joe Moorhead right off the bat. And Jake's, you know, Zembiak gets to enroll early. So I think it'll be interesting. And they got 8 months. So I don't know if we'll know a whole lot more probably before summer camp, because I think it'll be pretty even battle. But obviously Trace has advantage.
Frank, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your perspective. It's greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Hey, good luck with basketball. Stay warm. Have a good one, Steve.
Thanks so much, Frank. Yeah, it's 8 degrees here. Frank Bodani, great job as always. Always enjoy talking with Frank. Always steady, level-headed, great perspective to have Frank on the show. Matt Limegrover out of Minnesota. This is a great hire. I have how many times have I talked about the Minnesota staff and the job Jerry Kill did? I've brought it up several times here on the show, and I've done that for a reason, because I think there are a lot of qualified veteran professionals on that staff. It turned out when Jerry Kill then had to step away, Tracy Clays took over. Tracy Clays decided to make a change as to what they wanted to do with the offense. So Matt Limegrover became available. He has a great reputation. I've watched the Minnesota offensive lines over the years, and he has done just a great job. Physical, athletic, they attack you up front. And for him, I think it's going to be a huge plus for him coming in and just being the offensive line coach and not having to double up being the coordinator as well. I think it's going to be great for him, and it's going to be great for Penn State. We'll come back with more in a moment. Kevin's complete analysis of the interview, as only he can do it, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors just finished celebrating 100 years of satisfying more customers.
But they aren't stopping there.
SMC is committed to save you more than ever before in 2016. Sunbury Motors ordered in more Ford inventory to make sure you can save even more money this year. SMC is where you want to be for your next new F-150. 80 F-150s in stock starting at $26,904. SMC is where you want to be. If you're looking for the versatile Ford Escape, there's 40 Escapes in stock with savings up to $3,750 plus 0% for 60 months. SMC is where you want to be. To find the jaw-dropping Ford Fusion, SMC has 30 Fusions in stock with savings up to $3,500 and 0% financing for 60 months. 2016 is the start of another 100 years at SMC. And you're going to be the winner with more inventory to choose from and more money to keep in your bank account. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
And at sunburymotors.com.
Great to have you with us. Matt Limegrover takes over the offensive line. Great hire. I think this is the part of the move now toward, look, players transfer. I already went over realistically where everyone was in the program. I mean, I'm allowed to have observations too. I watch it. And the start of the semester, as Kevin correctly pointed out, was exactly the time you would expect something like this to happen. Coaches move. There were reasons behind it. Bob Shoup had his reasons with personal, trying to move up the ladder, trying to be a head coach one of these days. Fine. He thinks going to Tennessee is a step in that direction. Okay. And then for Herb Hand, who had an opportunity someplace else, turned it down, but then, you know, the personal friendship with Gus Malzahn. So you got to adjust. Well, I think now the Matt Limegrover hiring is that step in that right direction, where now this is where the positive cycle of news starts to happen for Penn State, because this is a great hire for Penn. And to get him to concentrate just on offensive line, where he doesn't have to be the coordinator, that's really important. I mean, and I think it'll make him an even better coach by doing so. Pittsburgh roots, Pittsburgh guy. Last 5 years as both a coordinator and offensive line coach at Minnesota, and that's big. Remember, Penn State right now sits ninth in the ESPN recruiting pool, and when you look at it, Michigan's 4, Ohio State's 5, Penn State's 9, Michigan State's 19. Look, it's easier to make a move in the Western Division of this conference, and I'm sitting here at Purdue, which is in the Western Division. It's easier to move in the Western Division than it is in the East. That's why I think Kevin Wilson's done a remarkable job, because, look, he's got Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State in front of him. You want to know what the highest recruiting rank among the Western Division teams in the Big Ten happens to be? 30th by Nebraska. 30th. All right, tribute to Jim Simpson coming up, who passed away today at the age of, what, 86? One of the classiest announcers ever. Nathan Baird on the show today as well. who covers Purdue basketball. Penn State plays Purdue tonight, 8 o'clock the airtime, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin, what were your thoughts on the Frank Bodani interview?
I enjoyed it, and I thought it was really insightful. I gave it two thumbs up.